شيخ ريدي وين يو ان شاء الله.
ريدي الحمد لله.
اوكي بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا. عفوا شكرا من بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to our weekly lesson, Masail al-Jahiliyyah, delivered by our Honorable Sheikh, Sheikh Salem al-Amri. I will pass the mic and the screen to the Sheikh, and the Sheikh can begin, inshallah. فليتفضل مشكورا شيخنا Sheikh Salem al-Amri.
بارك الله فيك، جزاك الله خير. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره فنعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, today is our weekly class, Masail al-Jahiliyyah, Issues of Jahiliyyah. And by now, it should be made known to everyone, and should be known to everyone, that Jahiliyyah is when you reject Allah's guidance, and you decide to lead your life in a way differs from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from you. So Jahiliyyah indeed is a deviation from worshipping Allah truly. That's Jahiliyyah. You deviate from what Allah wants from you. Allah created us, my dear brothers and sisters, for a purpose. And the purpose of our existence is to worship Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. That's the sole reason behind our creation. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have created jinn and mankind only to worship me. So that we exhibit and show our obedience, the willful obedience towards Him, the obedience that springs from love. We obey Him out of love. We love Him, so we worship Him, and we come to Him willingly. Because that's what He wants. He wants us to worship Him willingly, not by force or unwillingly. He could have done that. He doesn't want that, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why He has given us the free will to choose between obeying Him or disobeying Him, between taking the path of salvation or the path of destruction. So He loves that we come to Him willingly and worship Him out of love. So he created us for that reason. So the jahiliyyah is this deviation, which defeats the very purpose of our creation. And that is worshipping Allah, living our life according to His will, according to what He loves, according to His divine instructions. So to deviate from that way, that is jahiliyyah. So the worship, the ibadah, the true concept of worship, ibadah is that we actualize the ubudiyyah, the servitude in our life. We show that we are really obedient servants of our Creator, and we obey our Lord. And it's only through the ubudiyyah, through this actualization of servitude, ubudiyyah, we become true free men and women. The true freedom is only can be achieved through worshiping Allah and Allah only. If we don't want to worship Allah, we will be worshiping other things. Because man by nature is a worshiper. If you don't want to worship Allah, you will be worshiping many things. You'll be worshiping yourself, adoring yourself. Yourself is now your deity. You will be worshiping many deities, celebrity, fame, money, running after money. So money is your God, you're running after it. Fame is your God, you're running after it. And you will do anything for the sake of becoming famous. So you'll be a slave. You want to become a star, an actor, an actress. So your God is the stardom. You're running after that. And you are ready to do whatever is needed from you. You have to reduce your weight. We want you to have this figure. You are ready to do that and you go through a strict diet. You are a model. Walking in the catwalk on the platform, showing your body and showing your figure. So you are worshiping that profession. And you obey those who are in charge of you and responsible, that you should not put on weight. So your diet is checked, everything is checked. And you cannot violate that rule. Cannot. You cannot take your favorite dish that your mother makes. You cannot. So you are actually a slave. You are a slave. But for human beings. Or for your desires, for false objects of worship that you worship. So if you worship Allah, you get rid of all these idols. You don't idolize anything. You get rid of all of them. Money under your feet, it's not your concern. Celebrity, no. Fortune, no. Everything is trivial. Your focus the most important thing in your life is how to please my Lord. That's it. So you become free. You liberate yourself from all these shackles and bonds. Now you are free. So the ubudiyah liberates you, makes you a free person. Because you only obey one, not many, one only. That's Allah, who deserves to be obeyed. Because he created me and you. So the worship, my dear brothers and sisters, entails and necessitates that we abide by all his teachings. All his teachings. And fulfill our obligations towards him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Islam, my dear brothers and sisters, which is submission to the will of Allah, it's about rights and limits. Rights and limits. There are limits set by Allah, boundaries, which are not cross. And there are obligations imposed on us, which are Allah's rights. We have to fulfill his rights upon us, that we worship him alone, without associating anyone with him in his worship. All our acts of worship should be offered exclusively to him only. Him and him only. We pray to him, we fast to him, for him. We give zakah for his sake. We fight the jihad for his sake. Everything for him. We give charity for his sake. We withhold for his sake. Man a'ta fi Allah wa mana'a fi Allah. Wa habba fi Allah wa abghada fi Allah. Fastakmal al-iman. He who loves for Allah's sake and hates for Allah's sake and gives for Allah's sake and withholds for Allah's sake, he has completed the ranks of Iman. Because this was the ibadah in Islam means, and this was it entails and necessitates, that we abide by every single teaching of Allah. Because we are his slaves, we are his servants. So we have to say we hear and we obey. Allah tells us do, we do. Don't, we don't. We uphold, we abstain, refrain. He told us this is a limit, don't cross it. We say yes, we will not come near to it. So every one of us should ask himself, am I controlling myself within these set parameters? Am I within, I live within the boundary, the limits, or I cross them? I want every one of you now, look in your house and see. Do you see anything haram in front of you that you are doing in your home? Do you see any violation of Allah's limits in your home right now? Fix that. And go back and stay within the boundaries. Then you are a true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the ubudiyya. That is the abd. And I highly recommend and I beg each one of you to download Risalat al-Ubudiyya by Ibn Taymiyyah. Download it and read it. Small booklet, it is there in English as well and in Arabic, al-Ubudiyya, the servitude. Read it, read it, read it, read it many times. And keep checking yourself. Have I become a true abd of Allah or not yet? Have I become a true ama of Allah or not yet? So the ubudiyyah imposes, necessitates, entails that we abide by what Allah says. Do and don't. The whole Islam is about that. The Sharia, do's and don'ts. Because we have Sharia and we have Aqidah. Okay? So the speech is divine into Sharia and Aqidah. The Aqidah, the issues of the belief, the issues that we have to believe in. We have to believe in the Malaika, we have to believe in Allah's existence, we have to believe in the books, we have to believe in the messengers and prophets, we have to believe in day of resurrection, we have to believe life after death, all these things. This, they fall under Aqidah. And the Aqidah will be always the same throughout with all the prophets. That's why all the prophets, their Aqidah is one, which is Islam. And no abrogation will be applied to the Aqidah. No abrogation, which is rational. It's common sense. It makes sense. It's not possible and it is irrational that a prophet comes and says there is life after death. Then another one comes and says, no, there is no life after death. Contradiction. No. So no contradictions will be there and no abrogations. So the issues of Aqidah will never be abrogated. Whereas the Sharia, the do's and don'ts, yes, there is abrogation, there is nasr there. So prophets, they have different Sharia, different laws they came with, but the same Aqidah. So all the prophets are Muslims. All of them are Muslims. And they believe is one. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ said. Al-anbiya ukhwa li'allat deenahum wahad wa ummahatuhum shatta. The ukhwa li'allat is the brothers from different mothers, not full siblings, half siblings. The different mothers. The mothers here means the laws, the sharia. Deenahum wahid. So their deen is one, which is the aqidah, the belief. The mothers are different, the laws. Every prophet or messenger has his own law. He came with the law that addresses the issues of his time. Because the Sharia is about do's and don'ts. Do's and don'ts. and people's needs and wants differ from one generation to another, from time to time. So that's why the Sharia will be abrogated and it will be upgraded, and it will be in, upgraded in the sense it will come with additional rulings, additional rules to accommodate the new needs and wants of the people, addressing their problems. And finally, because there is no prophet and messenger will come after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he is Khatam al-Nabiyyin, he is the seal of all the prophets. So his law, his Sharia, has to be comprehensive and flexible and able to address all issues that mankind will come across. And this is the beauty about the Sharia in Islam, that it will never be unable or incapable to provide any solution, to provide a solution for any problem that is raised or posed, people they come across. That's why, alhamdulillah, there are many bodies across the Islamic world of scholars. When a new issue comes, they meet and they provide the solution. Those scholars, they are mujtahid, many of them. So this is the beauty of Islam. So the Ubudiyya, my dear brothers and sisters, as you know, I mentioned this many times, and those who revise their notes should recall that there are 25 ranks of Ubudiyya, 25 ranks, 25 levels you need to fulfill in order to become a true servant and slave of Allah Azza wa Jalla. 5 rulings in the Sharia and 5 senses. 5 rulings: haram, makruh, fard, sunnah, and halal or mubah. 5 senses: seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. So for each one of the 5 senses, you apply the 5 rules. 5 rules regarding your eye. You should ask yourself, is this haram? Yes, I close my eye. Is this fard? I have to look at it? Yes, look at it. Is this recommended to look at? Yes, look at it. Is it disliked, makruh, to look at it? Yes, don't look at it. And then you have the mubah, permissible, halal. You come to your ears, you apply the 5 rules. Is hearing this haram? Yes. Shut your ear. Don't listen to music, backbiting, slandering, etc. So you do this, everyone should ask himself. You come to your tongue, the same thing. You come to your hand, the same thing. You come to your smell, the same thing. You should not smell anything haram. So the Jahiliyyah deprives us, my dear brothers and sisters, of this pleasure and this honor. And this privilege of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Ubudiyya dictates that we fulfill our obligations towards our Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Ayah 49-50. Addressing his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَأَنِحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ وَاحْذَرْهُمْ أَنْ يَفْتُنُوكَ واحذرهم أن يفتنوك عن بعض ما أنزل الله إليك فإن تولوا فاعلم أنما يريد الله أن يصيبهم ببعض ذنوبهم وإن كثيرا من الناس لفاسقون إن كثيرا من الناس لفاسقون لا إله إلا الله. The meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and judge between them, and judge between them, O Prophet, by what Allah has revealed, and do not follow their desires. And beware, so they do not lure you away from some of what Allah has revealed to you. If they turn away from Allah's judgment, then know that it is Allah's will to repay them for some of their sins, and that many people are indeed rebellious. Let us pause and reflect. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing his prophet, وَنَحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ, judge between them, settle their dispute. How do you judge among them? How do you address their issues? How do you settle their disputes and their problems? Bima anzala Allah. Bima anzala Allah. Wa nihkum baynahum bima anzala Allah. So you judge between them by what Allah has revealed. What Allah revealed? The Quran and the Sunnah. And this is what should Muslims do. And this is the job of the Muslim ruler and the Muslim judge. They rule by what Allah sent down and resolve and solve people's disputes. وَنِحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ, with what Allah sent down to you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ, do not follow their hawa, what the people like, the masses want, what the people like and desire. That's why democracy goes against Islam. Democracy goes against Islam. Democracy is another deen. Democracy is kufr, is disbelief. Because democracy doesn't mean shura, no. They fool you when they tell you democracy is shura. No, it's not. There is an element of that in it. But the core of it is that the rule of the people, by the people, for the people. That is the meaning of it. The people are the rulers. And they rule themselves. according to their whims and desires, whatever they like. Okay? So it's not the shura as in Islam, no. It's giving the right to the human being to make laws, to legislate, to say this is halal, this is haram. That's democracy. As you hear nowadays, what they are doing. Okay? They are endorsing laws to make shameful deeds legal by law. So laws are made. So they are legalizing and making things legal, lawful. The things that Allah made haram, they're saying, no, it's okay. People that have the right. That is the essence of democracy. Essence of it. Whatever, what the people, what they want. Okay, let them vote. So the people voted, we want to be free in fulfilling our desires. Okay, that's your right. Approved by the Constitution. So, homosexuality, legal. Lesbianism, legal. Whatever you want to do, legal. Drugs, we want drugs. Okay, drugs, okay. We'll make drugs legal. Because here the people, they follow their hawa, their desires. Is that acceptable in Islam? No. Can people decide how to live and what they should do and what they should not? Going against what Allah decided, is that permissible? No. Is it permissible in Islam to make what Allah made haram halal? Is it permissible? The answer, no. So if one wants to make it halal, then he is not a Muslim. Very simple. Because Allah said it is haram. But in the religion and the deen of the democracy, and those who hold that belief, that's it. What the people want. The people voted, and it becomes okay. They want alcohol. Alcohol becomes halal. Prostitution becomes permissible, lawful, etc. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning his prophet here, telling him, alayhi salatu wasalam, وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَهْوَاءَهُمْ وَأَحْذَرْهُمْ أَنْ يَفْتُنُوكَ عَنْ بَعْضِ مَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. So Allah is warning his prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by telling him, and beware, and be careful, be cautious, and beware, so they do not lure you away from some of what Allah has revealed to you. And you have to look. Be careful and be cautious. Be mindful. And you have to look. They tempt you to compromise. Compromise. Lure away from some of what Allah has revealed to you. From some of it. Some of it. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. When they asked the Prophet ﷺ, they said, if you want to talk to us about Islam, the mushriks, allocate for us one day. We want only to be with you alone. We don't want those who were our slaves to be with us in our midst. We don't want that. Only us and you. Immediately, the Quran came down telling his Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاةِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا قُلْ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ مَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Allah immediately sent down Jibreel. Tell Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, should not accept, should not give them what they want. Wasbir nafsaka, O Muhammad, stay with those, the people of the Suffa, the poor immigrants, be with them. Wasbir nafsaka ma'a alladhina يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاةِ وَالْعَشِيِّ. Stay with those who call upon their Lord in the morning and in the evening. وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ. Do not turn your eyes away from them. Be with them. وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبُهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. And do not obey those whom we made their hearts heedless and void of remembering us. And they followed their own hawa and their affairs are not applied. And tell them the truth is clear from your Lord. So whoever wants to believe, let him believe. Whoever wants to disbelieve, let him disbelieve. And Allah prepared for them Jahannam, where they will be encircled by its walls. And they will be drinking boiling water. Yughathu bima'in kalmuhl. They will be in the hellfire. And when they ask for water, boiling water will be given to them. Yes, you will woo you. The moment they take the glass to drink, the fumes, the vapor, burns the skin of their faces. It's a sharab. What a horrible drink. And what a horrible abode and the place of his stay. So Allah said, وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَاحْذَرْهُمْ, be careful, be cautious. And يَفْتِنُوك. And يَفْتِنُوك. They convince you, they persuade you to do something. Displeases me. And the Prophet ﷺ, out of love, because he is rahmatan lil alameen, so he was overburdened himself. For example, when the blind man came to him, and that is in Surah Abasa wa Tawalla. And he was already, Ibn Umm Maktoum, was already a Muslim. And the Prophet ﷺ was engaged in the conversation with the mushriks, and he was keen to bring them to Islam and to pass the message to them. So Allah Azza wa Jal blamed his Prophet ﷺ and reminded him. Why? Why you keep yourself, you burden yourself more than what you can bear? Your mission only to present the truth to them. That's it. That's it. So the Prophet, because he is Rahmah, mercy, he's trying his level best to attract his people to Al-Islam. One night, alayhi salatu wasalam, he was praying one night, praying for the mushriks and crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Crying to Allah. As Allah described him, فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمْ إِنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَشَفَىٰ. Oh, Muhammad, you are killing yourself. عليه الصلاة والسلام, you are killing yourself over them because they didn't believe and didn't accept you and didn't follow the revelation. بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ, the بَخَع means to kill yourself, and they say the بَخَعَ الذَّبِيحَ, when you cut the bone marrow. So the sorrow and the sadness was so intensive. That's what the Prophet was experiencing and what he was going through. So Allah told him, no. Stay with those who already accepted me and they are worshiping me, those who celebrate my praises in the morning, in the evening, they call upon me in the morning and call upon me in the evening. Be with them and do not turn your eyes away from them. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told his Prophet, وَاحْذَرْهُمْ أَنْ يَفْتِنُوكَ عَنْ بَعْضِ مَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. So be careful so they do not lure you away from some, not all, some. Because this is what they want. وَدُّوا لَوْ تُدْهِنُوا فَيُدْهِنُونَ. The kuffars, this is what they want from the Muslims. That they want us to compromise. To compromise so that they can compromise. If they compromise, what are they going to lose? They are already lost and they are already losers. And they are already destined to hell. They are not losing anything. But we Muslims, if we compromise anything, we'll be in bad shape. We'll be in trouble. We'll be losers. That's why it is sunnah. We read قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ before we go to sleep. Why we read قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ before we go to sleep? Because that is the wala and bara. Bala, wala and bara. We are loyal to the belief and the believers. And no room in our hearts for the disbelief and the disbelievers. You have your own way of life, I have mine. Okay, let us have a dialogue. Let us talk. Fine. okay, Islam is for dialogue. No problem. Islam said it 1400 years ago. 1400 years ago, Allah said, "Qul ya ahlal kitab," O people of the book, people of the scripture, Jews and Christians, "Ta'alu ila kalimatin sawa'in baynana wa baynakum," come to a common term between us and you. You want us to have a dialogue? We are opening our arms. Come to a common term between us and you. What's the agenda? What are the conditions? What are the rules of the discussion and engagement and the dialogue? Allah na'buda illallah. Come. This is the common platform. This is the common term between us and you. Allah na'buda illallah. لا نشرك به شيئا ولا يتخذ بعضنا بعضا أربابا من دون الله فإن تولوا فقولوا شهدوا بأننا مسلمون. Are the Jews and Christians ready for this? Is His Holiness ready for this? Are the advocates for interfaith ready for this? No, they're not ready for this. Their agenda is the opposite. They want us to associate partners with Allah. They want us to leave our Islam, to compromise. We say, sorry. We want you to come to Islam because you are doomed. And you are destined to hell if you die like that. And we pray that Allah guide all of you to the true way of salvation, al-Islam. You want a dialogue on the following conditions, terms. تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء بيننا وبينكم. ألا نعبد إلا الله. Are you ready that we worship only Allah, our Lord and your Lord, our Creator and your Creator? ولا نشرك به شيئا. We don't set up partners with him, peers with him. And we do not take from among ourselves. Okay, lords, arbab min dunillah. If they say, no, we don't want this, say, okay. Bear witness that we are Muslims. We submit to him and him only. And there we'll meet on the day of resurrection. So Muslims should not be fooled by them. And should not be naive. Okay, and wasting their time thinking that, oh, we can have a dialogue. If it's this dialogue, as Allah said, on the terms mentioned, well and fine, welcome. Anything else? No. Let us have a dialogue and agree that we are all one. All one? No, we are not. All religions are the same? No, all of them are false. False. The true religion is only one. Inna deena inda Allahi al-Islam. The deen, the religion that Allah accepts is only al-Islam. Submission to Allah only.
ومن يبتغي غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه
هو في الآخرة من الخاسرين. Whoever desires and seeks and adopts a way other than the way of submissiveness and submitting, غير الإسلام دينا, other than Islam as a way of life, as a deen, فلن يقبل منه, it will not be accepted from him. وفي الآخرة, and in the hereafter, he or she, من الخاسرين, will be among the losers. So we have to be clear. Islam is about clarity. Muslims are clear. They are not hypocrites. They call a spade. And we cannot cheat you. We tell you the truth. The truth hurts, yes. It is bitter to swallow, yes. But it is the truth. You want salvation? Become Muslim. That's it. Before it is too late. واحذرهم أن يفتنوك عن بعض ما أنزل الله إليك. Then Allah said, فإن تولوا فاعلم أنما يريد الله أن يصيبهم ببعض ذنوبهم. لا إله إلا الله. لا إله. Allah says, if they turn away from Allah's judgment, they don't want what Allah says. That's what I said in the beginning. Jahiliya is rejecting Allah's judgment, rejecting what Allah said. If they turn away from Allah's judgment, then know that it is Allah's will to repay them for some of their sins. Some of their sins. Which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to punish them because of some of their sins. And you'll sleep in the battle with them. Not because of all their sins, just because of some of their sins. So when they reject the haqq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish them. وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنَ النَّاسِ لَفَاسِقُونَ, Allah says. And that many people are indeed fasiq, wicked, rebellious, sinful, fisq. Fisq sometimes can mean kufr, sometimes less than kufr. So the kafir is fasiq and kafir. Because the word fasaqa means you come out of the shell, which means you remove yourself from all obligations, because the Arabs, they say fasaqat al-balha, fasaqat al-balha, which means the ripe date, when the meat comes out from the skin, you hold it, it is so ripe, the skin will come in your hand, and the meat, the flesh, will remain. That is the meaning of fusuq. So the fasiq is a person who pulled himself away from the faith, away from the deen. So he's out now. فَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنَ النَّاسِ لَفَاسِقُونَ. They go back on their heels, and they leave the deen, and they leave the hidayah. and they leave the divine guidance. Then the ayah after that, number 50, Allah said in Surah Al-Ma'idah, after he warned his Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he told us that most of the people are fasiq, then he said, أَفَحُكْمَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَبُغُونَ أَفَحُكْمَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَبُغُونَ وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حُكْمًا لِقَوْمٍ يُوقِنُونَ وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حُكْمًا لِقَوْمٍ يُوقِنُونَ Is it the judgment of pre-Islamic ignorance they seek? Who could be a better judge than Allah for people of sure faith? La ilaha illallah. Allah said, أَفَحُكْمَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَبْغُونَ What's wrong with those people? They prefer the judgment of the days of ignorance. And today, people, they want democracy. Jahiliyyah they want. And they prefer democracy to Allah's ruling, to what Allah said. Allahu Akbar. أَفَحُكْمَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَبْغُونَ Is it the judgment of jahiliyyah, ignorance they seek? And they prefer it to Allah's law. What's wrong with you?
Man made law
is better than Allah's law. A law made by a human being, full of flaws and defects and loopholes. Because man-made law is made by human being. Human being is deficient. Human being is weak. Human being is ignorant. The human legislator, when he made that law, he addressed the issues at his time. And not perfectly and completely. And he doesn't know what's going to happen tomorrow. That's why the human being, they came amending the laws. The constitution started maybe one volume, and now it is that much. Amendment, 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 amendment. Amending it. Because there are certain issues need now to be addressed. And the constitution is silent regarding that. So they have to add to it. Because this is the work of human beings. And the professional lawyers, they know. They know the flaws and loopholes in the law. Even if you are caught red-handed, they can bring you out. Just they can pull you out. Depending how much you will pay. They know. The loopholes. But Allah's law, no loopholes in it at all. So now you prefer the law that is full of defects and flaws and loopholes to Allah's law? What's wrong with you? Allah, who knows everything, he knows what is going to happen. So he made his law perfect. Addressing all the problems. فَحُكْمَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَبْغُونَ So Allah is putting this question, rebuking those people who call for such nonsense. فَحُكْمَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَبْغُونَ Is it the judgment of jahiliyyah, ignorance? They desire, they like, they seek. Then after posing this question, Allah said, another question. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حُكْمًا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ رَحْمَاكِ يَا رَبَّ وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حُكْمًا لِقَوْمِ يُوقِنُونَ. Who could be a better legislator, ruler, judge than Allah? Who can be better than Allah? Who knows better than Allah? Who is wiser than Allah? Who is more kind than Allah? Who is more merciful than Allah? من أحسن من الله حكما لقوم يوقنون. For people who have yaqeen, who have sure faith, sure iman, true faith. People who have true faith, they will not prefer man's law to Allah's law. Then Allah said also, in Surah Al-An'am, Ayah 121. وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكَرِ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنَّهُ لَفِسْقٌ وَإِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ لَيُوحُونَ إِلَىٰ أَوْلِيَائِهِمْ لِيُجَادِلُوكُمْ وَإِنْ أَطَعْتُمُوهُمْ إِنَّكُمْ لَمُشْرِكُونَ. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin. Do not eat of what is not slaughtered in Allah's name, for that would certainly be an act of disobedience. Surely the devils whisper to their human associates, to argue with you. If you were to obey them, then you too would be polytheist. I want you to listen carefully. But this talk about one of the major shirks. You know shirk three types: major, minor, and hidden. Major shirk, there are different types. And one of these types is the shirk of atta'ah, shirk of obedience. So Allah says, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكَرِ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهُ وَإِنَّهُ لَفِسْقٌ. Do not eat from meat. Do not eat the meat that which is that animal is not slaughtered in Allah's name. An animal slaughtered in any other name, Allah's name is not mentioned, I should not eat it as a Muslim. حرمت عليكم الميتة والدم ولحم الخنزير وما أهل لغير الله به والمنخنقة والموقوذة والمتردية والنطيحة وما أكل السبع إلا ما ذكيت. So Allah prohibited many types of animals for us. So an animal that Allah's name is not mentioned is haram. So Allah is telling us, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكَرِ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنَّهُ لَفِسْقٌ. So do not eat of what is not slaughtered in Allah's name. In Allah's name, we don't eat from that. And if this animal is electrocuted or killed by any other means other than slaughtering, then it is maita for us as Muslims, we don't eat it. Though it is the kuffar, they eat it, it's not halal for us. And the ayah, وَطَعَامُ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ حِلٌّ لَكُمْ, the food of the people of the scripture, Jews and Christian, is halal for you. That is means the animals that are slaughtered. If they are slaughtered, okay, in the way we know, fine. For example, the Jews, this slaughter. So the rabbi will be there witnessing the slaughtering in the abattoir. So they slaughter. Okay. But if the animal is not slaughtered, as Muslims, you cannot. وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكَرِ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنَّهُ لَفِسْقٌ. So do not eat of what is not slaughtered in Allah's name. But that would certainly be an act of fisq, sinfulness, disobedience. A person who eats meat of an animal not slaughtered, he is a, not kafir, but he is a sinner. Sinner. Disobedient slave. Then Allah said, because Kuffar Quraysh, see, this is the trick here of the shaitan. So the mushriks of Quraysh say to the Muslims, okay, the animal that is slaughtered by you, so you killed it, it's halal, okay? They say yes. And the animal that is killed by Allah is haram? So they pose this question. The animal killed by a human being is halal, and an animal killed by Allah is haram? They mean the who caused the sheep or the goat to die? Allah. So this is haram, unlawful. And the animal that you slaughter and kill it is halal. So who gave this idea to the mushriks? Shaitan. He said, ask the Muslims and tell them this. You see, my dear brothers and sisters, maybe some of you now are entertaining the idea. Yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense. Then you are mushrik. That's what Allah said. Because the one who said, don't eat the dead animal, he's the one who said, eat the animal that is slaughtered. Allah himself said, this animal that is dead, don't eat it, but eat the animal that is slaughtered. Finish. Our Lord told us we don't eat the dead animals. حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمَ الْمَيْتَ. Dead animals are made prohibited for you. Finish. End of the story. Finish. Full stop. Dead animals are prohibited. Mayta too is haram. والدم ولحم الخنزير وما أهل لغير الله به الموقوذة والمتردية والنطيحة وما أكل السبع إلا ما ذكيتم except what you slaughtered. What you slaughter is haram. Dead haram. So the mu'mineen, the believers, the Muslims, they know this is from the shaitan. And Allah, you see, this is the Quran. That's why the Quran came down in piecemeal, not all in one go. No. Something happens, answer comes from Allah. So if an issue is there, the answer comes from Allah. So that is why the Sahaba, they understand the reason behind the revelation, why this came down. So Allah sent down this ayah. Surah Al-An'am 121. وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكَرِ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. Do not eat, okay, what is not slaughtered in Allah's name. It is fisq, okay? It's an act of disobedience. Then Allah said, وَإِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ لَيُوحُونَ إِلَىٰ أَوْلِيَائِهِمْ. So this argument came from the shayateen. surely the devils whisper to their human associates. Shayateen whisper into their ears, to the human associates, to argue with you. The animal that you slaughter and you killed, halal, and the animal Allah killed is haram. That is what the shaitan whispered into their ears. Then Allah warned the Muslims by saying, if you entertain and accept that, what they said, that the dead animals, because I caused them to die, is halal. وَإِنْ أَطَعْتُمُوهُمْ إِنَّكُمْ لَمُشْرِكُونَ. If you were to obey them, then you too would be mushriks, polytheists, pagans. Mushrikun. So Muslims should not listen to those who are receiving satanic whispers. We say, we only listen to what Allah said. Anything else? Sorry. We will not lend our ears to you. We only listen to what our Creator said. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain steadfast in this beautiful deen until we breathe our last on al-Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala end our life in the way that pleases Him. And may Allah forgive us our faults and mistakes and ignorance. And may Allah unite our hearts in the Haqq. And may Allah guide our Ummah to the Haqq. And may Allah bless us with the beneficent knowledge and righteous deeds. And may Allah reward all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, immensely for your patience and attendance. Barakallahu feekum. جزاكم الله خيرا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاك الله خير شيخ سالم. Brothers and sisters, we will now start the question and answers time. We have received some questions already. We will begin with those. Those people who would like to ask questions on the mic, please do so by raising your hands. We start with the first question, Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum. Can a female pharmacist have a meeting alone with a patient who is a man who is 100 years old about his medicine?
Alone, what does he mean by alone? There is khalwa, there's privacy, or alone, that means there are people around, so maybe he take him to an office and there is glass and people are seeing them. So now he is explaining to him how he should use his medicine. If that is the case, no problem. But to have khalwa with a man, irrespective of his age, the Prophet ﷺ did not make any exception. مَا خَلَى رَجُلٌ بِإِمْرَأَةٍ. That's why I am begging you to learn Arabic. مَا خَلَى رَجُلٌ بِإِمْرَأَةٍ إِلَّا كَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ ثَلَثُهُمَا. Any man, whether he's a century old or less than that, alone with a woman, the third one will be the devil. I hope this is clear to the questioner.
Inshallah, it is clear, Sheikh. We go to the next question. Assalamu alaikum. Is it permissible for a woman to use marriage dating apps to find a husband? If not, how does one go about getting married?
It seems to me that the questioner is a revert. Okay. Because in Islam, we have our own system. And the system in Islam is the khitbah, where the family, they look for you. Because women, they see the families and your mother, your sisters, but everyone is looking. And then they tell you that we found this nice girl. Then you arrange for a meeting with the family. And there's nothing wrong with the arranged marriage because that is the practice of Muslims. And now you are there sitting with the girl. You like each other, alhamdulillah. You don't, alhamdulillah. You look for another one. This is the system in Islam. We don't have dating, going out and you meet the girl and you go and, you know, all that stuff of jahiliyyah. No, we don't have that in Islam. Though, because of jahiliyyah, many Muslims today, they behave like the kuffar. He is my fiancé and he is my fiancé. Okay? So they go out together and they go to the restaurants and they dine. Maybe they wine. So that they know each other. They hold their hands, they hug each other, maybe they kiss each other, you know. The Prophet ﷺ said the shaitan is there, the third one. This is not in Islam. This is something foreign. It's not something of the deen of Islam. This is one extreme. The other extreme, some Muslims, they say, you will only see your wife on the wedding day, on the night of the consummation, actually. That night only you will see her. Before that, you will not. What? Yes. Send your mother, send your sisters. I'm the one who's going to marry her, not my mother. Sorry. So neither this extreme nor that extreme. Islam says you have the right to go and propose and see. And look. Look at her face. Look at her eyes. When the Sahabi said, I proposed to a woman from the Ansar, the Prophet ﷺ said, did you look at her? He said, no. He said, go and have a look. Because the Ansar, they have problems in their eyes. Go and have a look. So this is the system in Islam. So now if I have a sister, and many sisters there who are revert, that's why some da'wah organizations, I think, they have made matrimonial services where the one who is looking for the husband-to-be or wife-to-be will fill the application and it will go through the database and they will see the suitable partner with the conditions meet. Because I want these characteristics and she is saying the same, so they are matching, compatible. Up to here, if those people who are running this, service, they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they are trustworthy and no pictures, no photos. Then they can pick up the phone and call the man. So they are facilitators, facilitators. They say there is a family, this is their address, and we can help you to connect with them. So you go, which you will become again through the proper channel, as in Islam. You will go on with your family and see the girl. So what they made, what they did, only they helped you to find, locate that family. So something like this, that's okay. There's no problem with this. But to have matrimonials where the photos are there, and with, I don't want to go into the details. And maybe some they have the camera and you can chat. That's not Islamic at all. At all. We have to go through the proper channel, and you, we say in Arabic, you come through the door, not the window. The door is the family. Window, only thieves, they jump through the windows. Okay? So you have to come through the proper way. And that's why there should be organizations or for the new Muslims who can facilitate this for them, the reverts, whether they are brothers or they are sisters. I hope this is clear to the questioner.
Now, Sheikh, Jazakallah khair. Next question. When the Imam is giving khutbah on Fridays, we know it's prohibited to talk during this period. Is the prohibition only inside the masjid, or it extends to the premises of the masjid as well?
The congregation is extended to outside? If the question means that the masjid is packed and the people are outside sitting, listening to the khutbah, the answer yes. But if the question is meant after the khutbah, after the salah, people are chatting and talking outside, the answer, that's okay. I hope this is clear to the questioner. But during the deliverance, the khutbah and the imam is delivering his sermon speech, and you are outside because the masjid is already full, the building, it is, yes, it's haram to talk to anyone. I hope this is clear to the question.
Now, Sheikh, Jazakallah khair. Next question. Is it sunnah to shave the head of a newly born? If it is it also sunnah to weigh the hair in equivalence of gold or silver, and also give the money equivalence as sadaqah?
The answer to all these questions is yes. And something else you forgot, the question I forgot to mention, you take saffron, the saffron, and you apply, you soak it in water, and you apply it after shaving the hair on the scalp of the child.
Jazakallah khair. Next question. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Is it obligatory to teach 5 kalimas to the children and ask them to memorize it? Because the families of India and Pakistan forced their Quran teacher to teach the children kalimas.
What do you mean by kalimas? You mean the shahadatain?
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. This is good. This is good that you teach the shahadatain to the children, so they grow up knowing that this is their Islam, and they have to, and but we have to explain also to them in a simple way so they understand. So they grow up with always knowing the kalima and knowing the conditions of the kalima and what are the things that will spoil the kalima. This should, it's a good practice. Next.
The next question. Is it shirk if one believes that using chili can ward off jinn possession?
It can be, yes, it can be, because this can be shirk al-asbab. If you believe that the chili will ward off the shayateen or salt and things like that, which are many, these are superstitions, especially among Muslims in the Orient, in the East. So Muslims should not have such beliefs. Next.
Right. The next question, Sheikh. Can Salatul Layl be prayed before Isha? And what's the minimum of Salatul Layl?
Salatul Layl, normally after the Isha. After Isha. But the Sahaba also used to pray between Maghrib and Isha and consider it as part of Qiyam al-Layl, as part of it. And then they get up at night and they add to that. So between Maghrib and Isha, you can pray Nafil as many rak'ahs as you like. But normally, the tahajjud after the Isha prayer. Is it better that you sleep and then get up? It depends. Okay, if you are the person who will get up, then alhamdulillah, that's well and fine. But if you feel, you fear that you might not get up, only you get up at adhan of fajr, then it's better you pray your witr after Isha. I hope this is clear to the questioner, inshallah.
Inshallah, it is clear, Sheikh. We go to the next question. The next question is already answered. They've sent the question twice. Okay, we have one verbal question. Inshallah, we'll take that one. Sister Asfa, if you unmute your mic.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Just follow up question, Sheikh. Regarding those five kalimas, it is not only the shahada, but they have in India and Pakistan, they teach first kalima, second kalima, third kalima, like that. First kalima is the shahada, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Second kalima is the ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Third is the subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, like that it comes. Fourth, I think allahumma inna nasta'inuka wa nastaghfiruka, like that, like some duas only, but they have divided it like this: first kalima, second kalima, like that.
No problem with that.
Okay.
For the sake of educating the kids, no problem.
Okay. Inshallah. Okay. Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh. Sheikh, I even have another question. Can I ask you, please?
Yes.
My husband gives credit to his friends. It's a huge amount always he gives it, but he doesn't record it or have it witness. Some friends, they give it back and some they don't. Whenever I ask him to please make a record of it, I request him. He says the other person will think that he doesn't trust them, all that. But I say Allah says you have to record it. I say it in politely. Yeah, I even say, see, I am telling it. In Sharia, there is no compulsion that you have to listen to my words. But I tell it because Allah says it, that's all. But see, he says, oh, and then he doesn't. He feels shy to do all that, Sheikh. Should I keep telling him or I just leave him, Sheikh, please?
Okay. You can keep telling him, but change the way you talk, you mention it to him.
Okay.
Because he feels, yes, many people, some people like that, they feel shy that he is a close to me, close friend, he will feel hurt. I don't want to hurt him. And but the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that we have to make witness or to have something documented, piece of paper that I borrowed from so-and-so this, or I lent to so-and-so this amount. Because no one knows what will happen to one of the two, because we can die anytime. Yes, this few days ago, we lost our brother, Sheikh Muhammad Sharif, rahimahullah ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show his mercy upon his soul and elevate his status in Jannat and Na'im. Ameen. Is a loss for all of us. So we don't know. At any time, one will just leave this world. So now let's say the lender died. Okay. And his children are not aware that their father, he lent money to so-and-so. And that person, now because there's no proof, no evidence, Shaitan played with his mind and he decided not to give the money to the heirs or the inheritors. So that money is lost, which is now the right of the orphans. Okay? So there is wisdom behind it. There's a wisdom behind that. So he has to understand that this is a protection for people's rights, the right of your children, and to protect your own property. Okay? So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us we have to write it. So get rid of this shyness and not praiseworthy haya. But you have to put it in a nice way when he's in the mood to listen to you. Is it clear to you?
Yes, Sheikh. Jazakallahu khairan,
Sheikh. Barakallahu.
Sheikh, now that was our final question of tonight's session. If you'd like to conclude, inshallah. Jazakallah khair.
Wayyakum, barakallah feekum, jazakumullah khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, protect you, protect your family. May Allah elevate your status in Jannat and Na'im and in this world as well. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us to remain steadfast on this beautiful deen and die upon al-Islam. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite our ummah in the haq, and may Allah unite our hearts in the haq. Ameen. Until we meet inshallah in the coming session, I leave you in Allah's company and protection. Bihifdhullahi wa ra'ayatihi. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.